45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
All right, joining us now is an enormous tight end with an even bigger future ahead of him. Out of the Gold Coast Stingrays before accepting a spot at the University of Nevada, number 82 for the Wolfpack, Mr. Jaden O'Rourke. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, mate, just ticking along. We just spoke before we came on that it's actually colder for you than it is for us, which is a bit strange.
Yeah, well, the season's a flip, so it's currently winter now.
Well, yeah,
it's just started spring.
We're coming out of summer and it's getting colder by the day, but it's I didn't realise that it snowed in Nevada. I thought it was all sand and all hot.
I'd know about it, waking up early and walking to practice in the snow. It's not fun, but...
How far is the walk?
Oh, it's like 10 minutes tops. So
long enough to get the feet nice and cold.
Yeah, they get quite numb standing there.
Yeah, perfect. We'll get straight into it. Like, something I like to start off with everyone, just to try and get an icebreaker and see what kind of person you are and what kind of things you enjoy is finding out three people that you would have at a dinner party. So who would you have and why?
First one would have to be Rob Gronkowski, just because... He's a tight end. He's big personality. I feel like he'd be a lot of fun. But you could also learn off him. And then my second one would have to be Kai Lenny. He's in the surf industry.
Yeah.
And I kind of grew up idolizing him. Last one would be Daniel Ricciardo.
Ooh.
Add another Australian into the mix, and I feel like it'd be a fun dinner.
Are you an F1 fan?
I don't follow it too much, but I follow him.
Yeah.
I watch a bit of his stuff. And
it's a bit hard now that he's a backup driver, but...
Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. And Gronk, we're big Gronk fans on this episode. What do you reckon on this podcast, I should say. What do you reckon you could learn from him?
I think just being like a big presence on the field. He's obviously a big dude as well. And I'm sure every defender that he comes up against knows he's there and he's a hard hitter and he knows how to score touchdowns as well. So.
Yeah, definitely good for you going forward, I reckon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you've had a bit of a setback early in your time. Can we give the Wolfpack an update on the injury that you've got?
Yeah, so I only trained for, I think, just over a week, and then I was changed of direction and I had a small tear in my meniscus. It's nothing serious. I had surgery about a week later. It was a quick turnaround, but it's only like a 4-week recovery. Yep. So I should be back in the next couple of weeks into some drills and stuff.
So non-contact, just a change of direction and slipped on the turf or something?
Yeah, so we were still doing winter conditioning. We hadn't started contact yet.
Yeah.
And I'd been training that whole week and I had COVID 2 weeks prior. So I don't think my body was fully ready for it. And, I just went in a bit too hard and saw the consequences.
We'll talk about that later, about what you've got to do in rehab and things like that. But you started all your juniors off at the Stingrays on the Gold Coast in Robina. Is that where we grew up? Is that where we lived?
No. So I grew up in Coolangatta Tweed Heads. So my first house was in Coolangatta. And I only lived there till I was 2. And then I moved to the other side of the border, Tweed Heads. And I lived there my whole life up until about 2 months ago when I moved here.
Yeah.
So it was like a 40-minute drive to Stingrays, but it was the closest club. So that's where I ended up.
And how is that? So just purely by the distance, that's how you ended up there?
Yeah. So my parents actually worked with someone who was involved with the club. And that's how we kind of heard about it. But, Google as well. And I don't know if I was ready to travel all the way to Brisbane to play a few games. So
especially mum and dad being the ones that are going to get you there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you find your time at the Stingrays?
I think it was great. I met a lot of friends, some guys which will be friends with probably the rest of my life. And I played there for 4 years, but only three seasons because I missed a season because of the COVID and the border. I couldn't get across the border.
Ah, yeah.
But it was just a great atmosphere. Out of all the team sports I played at Stingrays, it was kind of more of like a family kind of vibe. Like, we do stuff outside of football, and we're all really close as one unit, yeah.
Was there anyone there that you that kind of took you under their wing and made you into the player you are today?
I feel like when I first started our juniors team, that would have been 2019, there was probably, I mean, the whole team really, very talented group of kids, and we all kind of pushed each other. I feel like we're all like led each other into a lot of players have also gone overseas from that team doing their own stints, and we kind of just pushed each other. I don't know if there was one person that guided me to where I am.
Yeah, fair enough. Was gridiron or the NFL always your passion, or you just mentioned you grew up with some other sports?
Yeah, no. So I, at the age of 7, I started playing rugby league. So I played rugby league for 6 years, and that's the sport that I probably watch the most and I follow, and that's the sport that I first kind of had, like, fell in love with, really. And then from then I started playing AFL. I kind of followed in my brother's footsteps. He went from league to AFL and really enjoyed it, and I kind of was getting sick of league, and I broke my arm and mum wasn't real happy, so she put me in AFL, and I enjoyed AFL, but I just didn't really like, I never was a big fan of AFL, like I never watched it, but I still like supported a team and kept up to date, but those were my two sports before gridiron.
Do you still, the both the league and the AFL have just started new seasons, are you keeping up with it, or is it a bit too hard over there?
Nah, I watch the highlights when I can. I obviously can't watch the games, but I'm a Broncos fan, and Geelong
started off very well.
Yeah,
oh, they did not start off well.
Not Geelong, but the Broncos, they're doing well.
Yeah, I wouldn't, if you haven't already, I wouldn't go watch the highlights last night for Geelong.
Oh, really? I know the score, but I didn't watch the highlights.
Yeah, nah, no good, mate. Don't worry about that one. You'd be spewing. The two boys that would normally come on are both Geelong's fans. So.
Oh, really?
You're stuck with me, who's a Brisbane fan, so that's all right. That's all right. So when did you decide that the NFL was the path and the passion that you wanted to take?
Well, I kind of always like knew what American football or NFL was. Just seeing it on YouTube, I can't really pinpoint one point, which was like my first interaction, but I feel like I started to really like it after watching some of the movies, like Remember the Titans and those type of movies. And then my first real like live interaction was I went to a holiday in Hawaii in 2018, and we went to a college football game. It was Hawaii versus Navy. It was the home opener. And from that point, I was like, I'm going to play American football. And then a year after, I signed up for Stingrays.
Yeah, grouse, absolutely. I can. I've watched. I haven't had the chance to go to a college game, but watching a few of them would have been nuts.
Yeah, it was just the atmosphere. I think was the biggest thing that was like everyone kind of got around it, and the whole town was there, and it was just nothing I've ever seen before.
Is that something you're looking forward to playing in front of?
Yeah, 100%. Like in Reno, which is the town I'm in, like the sporting teams here are the college teams. So you'll walk into some of the shops and there'll be team merchandise and people know who the players are and you get recognised. And when I've been to a couple of the basketball games here, and it's just the same atmosphere. Like everyone gets around that one team and the one group.
So who, you said you followed or you watched a college game, but do you follow the NFL?
I do follow the NFL, but I don't really have one specific team that I follow.
Yeah,
kind of just a fan of the whole game because I don't really have any ties here in America, so I didn't really have. I have favorite players and stuff like that, but not really one team.
You've mentioned Gronk. Is there anyone else that you kind of follow and mold your game on?
I think I aspire to make my game like Kittle because he's so dominant in both the run and the pass game.
Yeah.
Like as a tight end, you can't just be good at one thing. If you want to be really good, you've got to really learn how to master both.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you, if you, you only picked up the sport in what, 2018, 2019, you've gone leaps and bounds pretty quickly. What is it because of, I see you got involved with the End Zone Boys at the End Zone Academy. Are they the kind of guys that got you to where you are now and learning all the plays and the X's and O's?
Yeah, so that was crucial for me joining End Zone. So that all started in 2021. So I was playing football for 2 years before that. And during those 2 years, the dream wasn't to go play college football or go to the NFL. I just loved just playing gridiron at home. Like it was, it was probably the sport I enjoyed most out of all the ones I played. And then, have you heard of PPI and Brandon Collier?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so they were doing a combine with End Zone. They were a partnership in Brisbane. And so I went up to that and I thought I'd just have a go and, you know, test where I'm at and just good practice for state or national teams if I ever went to that. And then I did that and I was lucky enough to get invited to the Dream Chasers Tour. And then after that, Sam messaged me and we got in contact and we started working on some stuff in the gym. But because I live so far away, I had to do it online. So I was filming myself in the gym and sending it to him and he'd give me feedback. But once I finished school, which was just over a year ago, I started traveling up to Brisbane twice a week.
Yeah. Makes it easier when you can take yourself up there as well, I imagine.
Yeah. And like those boys all have similar goals. So it was really good to connect with some of them and build some relationships and talk about like-minded people. Like, no one really around me even played American football. So it was hard to find training partners or people to train with.
Yeah. Especially with it being at a lot more specific to what you want to be, I presume.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I kind of didn't have the dream of going to college early on because I didn't have enough faith in myself. I thought, oh, that's too, I don't know, no one's done that before. And then you start seeing guys like Jordan and Jack and Zach start getting offers and going, and you're like, maybe this is something I can do. And I think when I got selected for that tour, that was the real tipping point. Like, all right, these guys believe in me. So I started believing in myself.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And then that all culminated in earlier this year committing to the University of Nevada. How did you end up at Nevada? And did you get more than one offer? Or
yeah, so during my time on tour, I got a smaller Division I offer. And I had some other JUCO offers and Division II offers and I was talking to a lot of coaches. So basically my biggest thing was because I missed 2021 season because of COVID, my 2 years of film was when I was 16 and 17 and we're playing 9-man football. So we didn't play 11-man football in those age groups.
Yeah.
So my film was from a year and a half ago from when I was touring and it was 9-man football. So the coaches didn't really take an interest in it. But the plan was to go on tour, get a bunch of interest, and then play the men's season back here, back in Australia. So I did that, and I started talking to Coach Sage, the tight ends and offensive coordinator here, right after my tour. He found me on Twitter, which is where a lot of the recruiting happens. And we were talking pretty consistently. He just didn't have a scholarship spot, and then the start of this year, something opened up and he offered me the scholarship and I knew it was where I wanted to go.
So you're saying you were talking pretty regularly. Was he keeping like tabs on how you were going and giving you advice on what to do or what kind of talking were you?
Yeah, so he was actually really good with it because I would send him game film weekly.
Yeah.
And I'd also send him training film just to try and, because he obviously can't see me in person. I was just trying to give him as much of a scope as I possibly can. And so he started giving me feedback on my training film, giving me coaching points as well as talking to me about what my process would look like if I ended up going there. So it was kind of a bit of everything and just talking about life as well.
Yeah, but perfect way to get your foot in the door when you're talking to a coach that you actually you want to go to, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it gets you excited.
How did it feel when it finally set in? Like, I imagine there would have been a fair bit of emotion when you decided you're actually going, but, you know, a week or two later that it sets in that you're actually heading over there. How was the feelings?
At first, it was a bit surreal because it happened so fast. I thought I'd be going in the summer because I thought it was too late for me to go now.
Yeah.
And he called me and said he had a scholarship open up, and I knew that I was going to take it, and I took it, and I had a couple of weeks to say goodbye, and it cool because it all happened so fast. I didn't really get time for it to sink in.
Yeah.
But my goal for the past couple of years, 2 to 3 years, was to get a college football scholarship, and like now that I've achieved that, I've just started trying to set new goals.
So, extremely quick turnaround. What's it been like? Well, like you said, you pretty much went from training and sending over film to straight over there and into it. So, what's the last month or so actually been like over there?
It's been very fast-paced, but I like it. I've learnt stuff that I would have never learned at home football-wise. The coaching is just unbelievable. Like, in our tight end room, we have Nick, assistant coach, Coach Sage, the tight ends coach, and then we have Virgil Green, who's NFL vet. He played for 10 years and won 2 Super Bowls. And I mean, there's not much more you could ask for when you're trying to learn how to make yourself into the best football player possible.
You stand out, though. I've got you at 6'8", is that right?
Yeah, I'm actually probably closer to 6'9", but
shit.
Yeah.
And then when you put your Dukes up there, you've probably got a wingspan of over a couple of hundred as well. So I imagine that's a perfect way to stand out in front of the coaches.
Yeah, it's what I needed coming from Australia. Like the coaches aren't seeing me week in, week out playing football. So you need something that'll catch their eye. So that's what I'd start every conversation with. These are my measurables.
And yeah. What other things were you telling them? Just the fact that you were 6 foot, nearly 9?
Well, I prided myself on my ball skills as well, like playing ball sports growing up since from a young age. I had good hands, could catch the ball in any situation, and I was also quite agile for my size. So my combine times were good, but because I'm so tall and big, it was like even better.
Yeah. What positions did you play in league and AFL? Did they transfer over across?
AFL, I played a bit of ruck and a bit of centre-half forward and full forward.
Yeah.
So that was really good because it taught me how to attack the ball at the highest point. So when I was catching, like, if you get a kick coming in and you got to jump up and you're in a contest, like, it's the same as here. Like, if there's a defender on me, I've got to get to it before they do.
Yeah.
And then rugby league, I played front row, winger, fullback, bit of everything.
Yeah.
I feel like that was kind of just more my introduction to contact, like tackling, and I learned how to get hit and how to take hits and be safe as well. So,
have you had the pads on yet?
No. So they started putting pads on the week I got surgery. Yep. So I haven't yet, but I'm excited.
From what I've heard, it's very a lot different, especially when you get that helmet on for the first time, running around trying to take the catch. But I'm sure you'll adjust very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What about catching? So what kind of training were you doing in that week that did you get your hands on the ball? Or was it purely, you know, getting out there and get the fitness base going?
I got my hands on the ball a couple of times, but most of it was conditioning. So we'd do stations on Tuesday, Thursday, and then lifts Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
And so when we do our conditioning in the stadium, on the field, afterwards we'd go into an individual period where we'd connect with the coaches and we'd get to catch some balls and work some like position drills and our stance and run some routes, and then after that we'd do player-led practices. So the coaches leave and the players are able to run their own practice.
Yeah, right. How have you found the difference in the ball between, well, the most recent being the AFL ball to the NFL ball?
I got used to it because the past like 3 or 4 years I've been using that ball, but I feel like it's definitely easier to catch a spiral than a drop punt. But the boys here throw it real well, like nothing I'm used to. But I mean, my quarterback at home, shout out Taj, he was incredible while I was there. He was a great quarterback, but these guys are just, they're on another level.
Yeah. Is the college ball different to the ball you're using back at home, though?
No. So we use the same balls at home. Yeah,
that's handy. That's good. Yeah. I know it differs when you go into the NFL, but we'll worry about that into the future. Yeah. From what I've found, and like all over your socials and stuff, you're a typical Byron Bay, just beach bum. Is that, how does that transfer over in Nevada? I can't imagine there's too many beaches getting around.
No, there isn't. Like I said, I grew up in Coolangatta, and my whole life I've been within a couple kilometres of a beach, and grew up doing water sports with my family and stuff. And I think it's nice to have a change, like focus on football. It's something that I've been striving towards, but there's also plenty of stuff to do here. Like when I walk down to the stadium, I can see the ski fields in the background and I'm itching to get out there, but got to wait till I'm healthy and wait for a good time.
not ideal to head out on the ski slopes when you've got a bung knee.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lake Tahoe is only like 40 minutes from here, and it can be really nice in the summer and some good beaches there, so...
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll find some substitutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there plans for your family and stuff to come over and watch?
Yeah, so just depending on how this year goes and how much I play. But in the future, my family will definitely come watch. I think a big game will be next year. We play in Hawaii. So I feel like they're planning on coming to that. One, because they get to go to Hawaii, and it's also a lot closer.
Yeah. Makes it a lot easier. Will you travel? Do you know already, will you travel if you're not on the play-on squad?
I could be wrong, but they take about, I think they take 60-something players, so they don't take every player. Our tight end depth is quite low. Like, we don't have a lot of tight ends. We only have 4 healthy tight ends, and me and another are injured. So there's a good chance that I'll be traveling, but I just don't know. Depends on how I go. I haven't even really proven.
Haven't put the pads on yet, so we'll see how we go. But
yeah.
What have you decided to study and taken up over there?
So at the moment, I'm doing an undecided major, so I haven't actually picked one because I was just trying to get in there, and I just got into whatever was open. But I'm going to move towards a marketing major.
Okay.
So it's just something I've been interested in, but. To be honest, I haven't really been too sure at all at any point what I want to do after this finishes, but that's something that I'm interested in, so I'll pursue it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. What's the facilities like over in Nevada? They look pretty special.
Yeah, it's a big change from what I'm used to. At Stingrays, it was like a 2x2 meter shed with all of our equipment. But here, they're actually building a brand new locker room. So that'll be done right before the season. And the stadium is just like nothing I've ever played at before. And there's practice fields and hot tubs, cold tubs, rehab facilities, trainers, like everything you could ever want.
How have you gone from the adjusting to, like you said, you were training 2 or 3 times a week. I imagine this is 5, 6 times a week you're training now.
Yeah, well, the program at Endzone was quite similar. So... at Endzone, we'd lift Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we'd go on the field Tuesday, Thursday. It's pretty much the exact same principle, but it's just a lot more intense. And you have all the meetings as well. So it just makes it... But I enjoy it, which is a good thing. I don't think of it as hard work. I think of it as fun.
Yeah, yeah. And did the boys at Endzone get you ready for, you know, all the film and stuff that you've got to be watching?
Yeah, so in the later time at Endzone that I was in season, I wasn't traveling up there, but when I was traveling up there, we'd do Zooms with Booker. I don't know if you know Coach Booker, but he would take us through film. Makana was also a great reference.
Yeah.
During my last season, I really started talking to Makana before he was at End Zone. He really helped me with the recruiting process and what I needed to do, and then also how to approach college and stuff like film.
Yeah, absolutely. He's we had him on a few weeks ago, and he's a wealth of knowledge, Makana.
Yeah, he was great. He was right in the crucial point of when I had to make decisions, and
yeah,
he's a great person to have.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. Have you looked? I see that, or you mentioned before about Hawaii, but have you looked at the schedule and circled any games that you're really excited about?
I think one that stands out the most would have to be the USC game, the first game. Like, to versus a team that was ranked highly last year, like had a Heisman Trophy winner. It's like that's the reason why you're here. You train and you wake up early and you put in the hard yards to play in front of an atmosphere like that. And I feel like if you really play well, you can put yourself on a lot of recruiting boards for professional football. And it's really a good way to prove yourself.
Is that at USC or is it at home?
It's at USC.
Yeah, grass. That'd be nice bit of travel and a grass stadium to play in.
Yeah.
Are you a goal setting type person, or are you kind of take it day by day?
By nature, I take it day by day, but I'm working on setting goals, and I think it's really good to have something to strive towards. So I actually was talking to someone not too long ago about goal setting, and we wrote down some stuff that I'd like to do, and like daily and 6 months and 2 years and 5 years.
Yeah, grass. So you do have a extremely hard at the moment. And like you said, you've copped a little bit of a step back and haven't even put the pads on, but you've got an outlook towards the end of this year as to where you want to be.
Yeah, so ideally I'd like to travel for a few games. First and foremost is get my knee better. That shouldn't be too long. It's not a serious injury. And so working on recovery and then also put a bit of weight on, probably get to 260, 265 when I'm playing. I feel like that would be pretty good for me. I can still run routes and block some big defensive ends.
Yeah, yep. We'll talk about what you've got to go through with your knee now, and then what the next couple of months looks like heading into training camps.
Yeah, so with my knee, I do rehab every day pretty much. There's trainers in the training room, and I pick up a sheet, and it's got all the exercises I need to do, and then they ice it, do whatever they need to do. They do all their fancy stuff, but it's already feeling better. And I see the doctor on Monday, hopefully get the stitches out. And then as soon as the stitches are out, I'm easing into periods at spring practice. And depending on how it feels is how fast I'll get back into it.
Are you still able to do like the upper body lifts while the knee's healing?
So when I did the knee prior to surgery, I was doing upper body lifts, so I'd just have a modified. I'd still be in there with my group, and if they had a lower body lift, I'd just exchange it for something that didn't use my knee. But since I got the surgery, I'm not allowed to sweat or get it wet. So they haven't allowed me to do the upper body exercises, but as soon as I get the stitches out and stuff, I'll be back into it.
Straight back into it, yeah, grass. How have you handled the like you said before about getting up early? Like most people I speak to, it's 5:30 start, and it's long days. How have you handled that transition?
Well, I used to, before I came here, I used to work for my dad for about a year, and we used to make kitchen bench tops, and that started at 5 a.m. So I'd get up at 4:30, and I'd go up to Burley and I'd make bench tops till about midday, because he knew I had footy stuff in the afternoons. And then in the afternoon, I'd have a good nap, which is the same as here. And then I'd get out to training at night. That might be one of the days I'd go up to Brisbane to End Zone, or I'd be in the gym. So it's kind of transitioned really well for me, just because of that.
You'd be getting a bit of a sleep in then, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Here, it's too cold to start at 5 a.m. So,
being the beach bum you are, you still getting around in thongs and things like that, or Not in the snow.
No, it's making me worse. I'll be shivering out there and the other guys will be like, oh, it's not even that cold. Like, I still need to adjust, but I'm getting used to it.
Was it the first time you've seen snow going over there?
No, I used to do quite a few ski trips with my family. We either go down south in Australia or we went to Canada a few times. So I have seen the snow, but I enjoy the snow. The cold sometimes gets me, but I think the snow's cool.
What about in the summer? I imagine that Nevada being out in the desert's going to get quite warm. Do you reckon you'll be all right with that?
I think I'll enjoy that. Yeah. I think I'll thrive because it's a lot like home. Like, some days we're playing mid-December in the heat down at Stingrays. So I think here I'll do well.
Yeah, yeah. What about, we're speaking about goals before. So obviously the NFL is the long-term goal that you're heading at.
Yeah, so I think for me, I just every day strive to be the best football player I can be. And if NFL is a byproduct of that, then that's great. But any professional league is, I think, a great opportunity. Like, you've got the ELF now and the CFL. I think any of those leagues would be a great experience. But obviously the NFL is the crown jewel. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And you just keep putting in the work. And like I said, you've got an enormous future ahead of you, especially being 6'8 and can run. I think that that bodes well for your NFL prospects.
Yeah, it's pretty unique. So I just need to use it to my advantage.
Yeah, good work. I've got one more question for you, mate. The time's gone flown by, but I appreciate you giving up your afternoon. Are you on spring break at the moment?
Yeah, so I've got a week off right now, so no classes, no football. I'm just rehabbing my knee and hanging out, taking it slow. So
yeah,
it's been quite nice.
Nah, so I appreciate you taking your time during your time off to come and have a chat with us. It's we are looking forward to watching and seeing how you go, and hopefully you do get that early gig at the SC game.
Yeah, for sure. I hope I do as well, but that's something I'll be working towards.
Yeah, absolutely. My last question is probably for Mum and Dad. Are we ever going to see you back on the Aussie soil?
Yeah, I'll be coming back in May, hopefully, just for a week. I'll hopefully get some reps in with the old Stingrays boys and get around that. But Christmas will be when I'm back. Most of the time I'll have a couple of weeks, depending on how we go. Obviously, bowl game is the goal. So if we make a bowl game, I might not get as many weeks, but that's what I'm here for. So
yeah,
I'll keep that working towards that. But yeah, I'll get a few weeks every year. And I think after my football career is over, I'd like to move back to Australia. I think it's the best country in the world.
Yeah, beautiful. Nah, I'd love to hear that. Have you got, how far is the actual flight and the travel?
So it's about, when I came here, we drove from Gold Coast to Brisbane, which was like an hour. And then we flew to LA, which was 14 hours, I think. And then there's a flight to Reno, which is like an hour and a half or something, I think. So it's like all up. Takes a day travel all up with the airport times, but
yeah,
it's a lot better than being on the East Coast and having an extra 4 or 5 hours to fly over.
Did someone go over to help get you settled, or did you go over there and do it all by yourself?
No, Mum and Dad insisted they came with me, which I'm glad they did. So they stayed here for 5 days, I think, and helped me set up. We went and bought all my stuff for my apartment and went to dinner with the coach, and I'm glad they saw it as well. They wanted to see where I'd be living and all the facilities. So, yeah, they helped me out.
So you said you're in an apartment, but on campus, I'm presuming?
It's technically off campus, but it's like across the road from the football facility. So
yeah, it's like as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, I don't have a car. I haven't learned to drive on the other side of the road, but I just walk everywhere.
So how are you going to go getting around to the bloody ski slopes if you don't have a car?
I'll have to find a lift or something, or I'll just have to suck it up and get my license and figure it out.
I think everyone will be more than happy to take the star tight end around and show them all the things that Reno has to offer.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the plan. Yeah.
Yeah, grouse. All right, mate. We like I said, I appreciate your time, and we'll definitely keep. We've got a few SC fans that follow us, so we'll be all over the SC game, especially. But we'll have to add Nevada to the list to follow.
Yeah, for sure. It was nice talking to you.
Nah, appreciate it, mate.
All right. I'll see you later.
Beautiful.
Well done.